In what could charitably be described as a budget address on Tuesday, Governor Andrew Cuomo roughly outlined two different scenarios for the state's next fiscal year, which begins on April 1st. The first scenario, as described by the governor, is a bleak hellscape where Washington, D.C. delivers New York another $6 billion in emergency aid. The second hypothetical, which Cuomo characterized as the fair outcome, would involve a federal relief package of $15 billion. To weigh in on this budget approach and help us do a deep dive into Cuomo's proposed $193 billion spending plan, we're joined once again by E.J. McMahon, founder of the Empire Center for Public Policy, a fiscally conservative think tank here in Albany. Welcome back to the show, E.J.
Thank you.
So I want to start by having you just tee off on the framing of Tuesday's address from the budget. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, he succeeded in having his framing be featured as the news hook, which his framing of the budget is, give me $15 billion or else.
Right.
Those of us who are old enough to remember the old National Lampoon in the early 70s, they famously had a cover of the National Lampoon, which was the hand of a man holding a revolver to the head of a frightened-looking dog. Said, buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog.
Yes.
I mean, basically, this was another iteration of his approach ever since last year, which is basically telling the Fed, you must give me money or I will have to take out and shoot these programs. He's basically been deferring every problem the state has onto Washington. And while there was still one last chance, blaming it on the Trump administration in particular, this is a totally different way of framing a budget crisis, an unexpected budget crisis, than, for instance, David Paterson did 11 years ago in the Great Recession, when he basically saw problems, sought to get a jump on the problem, and put out his budget early and had a traditional conventional budget presentation that clearly laid out what he was going to attempt to do to deal with the problem, pending federal aid. The governor's performance yesterday was basically sort of a political rant, and I don't think anybody would take issue with that in either party. And he's also distorted the budget process at this point to where he puts out none of the details of the budget. None of the crucial and often confusing technical details of the budget were laid out in full until almost midnight last night, which was the constitutional deadline for presenting his budget. It was all spin. It was all performative. The $15 billion number, which he has popularized and managed to get repeated in headlines and news stories all over the state repeatedly, is a phony number that has no real-world relevance. And what we saw was that because of the massive federal aid the state already received in the past fiscal year, and because the revenue recovery was somewhat stronger than expected, the state has no deficit at all, repeat, none, in the current fiscal year, and it's got a significant boost from federal revenue next year. And he's assuming, his baseline assumption in the budget is that the Biden administration's first stimulus bill will yield at least $6 billion in two even $3 billion chunks for the state over its next two fiscal years. Given where Biden is coming from and what he has proposed, that probably is a safe assumption. But all of that sets up the same problem, the very same problem that Andrew Cuomo himself inherited from the Paterson administration. Paterson got a total over 3 years of $10 billion from the Obama administration stimulus. And then when it disappeared as it happened just in time for Cuomo's becoming governor, and he had to close a big budget gap because of that. Now, that was during an economic recovery that ended up being much stronger than what lies ahead, potentially. This whole budget picture is filled with more smoke and mirrors than we've ever seen, certainly in my experience, which goes back 30, 35 years. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, when you think about the actual deficit as you see it for the fiscal year that starts
right.
April 1, you know, putting aside the potential for federal
right.
aid, what is the actual hole? You know, making certain assumptions like controlling growth at 2%, for example, what sort
right.
of hole are we actually looking at that would need to be closed by either federal aid, some sort of cuts, or increased revenue?
Here's the simplest way to look at it is as follows. State revenues, mostly taxes and some other revenues, The state's own revenues, its tax revenues in particular, in the current fiscal year, which ends March 31st, are on track to be down nominally, $5 billion from the year before. That's a pretty big reduction. That rarely ever happens, to actually have your revenues go down by more than $5 billion. Now, he had originally expected they'd be down $8 billion, but they were down $5 billion. That is the current projection, if that works out being correct. Now, here's the problem. Spending and revenues are lines that should run right on top of each other, maybe with revenue a little bit ahead, ideally, in a typical year. If you picture this, what happened last year in this past fiscal year is that when the current budget was approved on April 1st, in the teeth of the pandemic, we knew we were heading into an unprecedented recession and the economy was collapsing. The governor and the legislature agreed on a budget that spent slightly more than the previous year, even though they knew they were in the middle of an economic calamity. So what happened was spending stayed the same, but revenues crashed. Now, revenues next year, if you made no change, would still be below the prior year's level. And there'd be sort of a recurring structural gap in the neighborhood of, I don't know, $5 to $8 billion perhaps when you clear away all the undergrowth, probably more. That is the actual structural gap, if you define it as what the state is spending and what the state is collecting. So that's the problem to deal with. When you then put back in all of the federal aid the state is getting from multiple different strands, and try to make sense of the Medicaid budget, which is a black hole inside a black box at this point, it seems pretty clear that there's no deficit to speak of in the coming year, especially if you assume you're getting $3 billion more from the federal government. And I think everything is so obscure at this point, it's difficult to make sense out of the numbers. But there is, I would say, in general, the state has now a problem defined in terms of a recurring budget gap that's about as big, at least in nominal terms, as what it had in the Great Recession. That is, anywhere from $5 to $10 billion is the hole. That's pretty big. And it gets worse if you increase spending. And what the governor's proposing in this budget is to increase spending with the aid of federal money. This budget includes what he's proposed yesterday, includes the largest school aid increase any governor has ever proposed in nominal terms. In percentage terms, it's 7.1%. He's looking to increase aid to public school districts by 7.1%, $2.1 billion. In part because he's using almost $4 billion in federal aid that he just got last in December to prop it up. Now, the problem is if school districts go ahead and spend that money all in the coming school year, they are going to have a budgets that are unsustainable. It's not clear to me that any thought has been given to that or any direction has been given to school districts in the supporting legislation. It's very confusing. It was not briefed clearly or well. But we're setting ourselves up for the same problem, at least, that we had 11 years ago, which is you get all of this aid from Washington, and then the aid, because it's only temporary, and then what do you do? He's doing nothing to control spending and to tighten the state's belt and to reduce spending even gradually to a level that the state can support in the future. In fact, what he's saying is if he gets the $15 billion he's demanding, he will expand spending more. He will do more, which will put us further out on a limb, which will break when the federal aid disappears. So it's certainly not a budget that is about cuts. There's no cuts at all in this budget, really. There is a modicum of restraint and one very big tax increase on a very small number of people if the feds don't come up with $6 billion over the next 2 years, which is probably a safe bet.
Yeah, what do you think of that income tax hike that he's proposing, the top rate going to, I think, about 10.82%? For people making
right.
more than $100 million and staggered rates below that.
Right.
I mean, I know typically you guys haven't exactly been on
right.
board with that. What do you think in this
no.
context?
Well, here's the point. let's forget about what people feel about raising taxes higher on people who have higher incomes. The state already depends on the highest earning 1% for over 40% of its income tax receipts. That's a plain fact. We're very, very dependent on people like that. Their incomes are volatile because they tend to ebb and flow with investment values. So what he's talking about doing is, and we don't, by the way, we don't even know how many people in New York make $100 million. The governor's tax department may know, but they're not telling us. I can tell you that there's barely 2,000 people, I think less, who make over $10 million. Maybe 6,700 people who make over $5 million who are in this group that's going to be targeted for tax surcharges totaling $1.5 billion. The smaller the number of people you're targeting for a tax increase, the more you're likely to lose if just a handful of them migrate. And in fact, the governor's revenue estimate is actually looks to me to be lowballed in expectation that they will, in fact, have taxpayer behavior changes that lose them revenue by doing this. The top rate he's proposing would be the highest top rate New York has had in more than 35 years. And 35 years ago, when the top rate was over 10%, that was a narrower tax base. That was before the Reagan-era tax reform, there were many more loopholes, and there were narrower definitions of taxable income. And 100% of New York State taxes were deductible on federal returns. So the effective rate, way back in the mid-'80s, before Mario Cuomo's rate decreases took effect, the top rate, in, the effective top rate in New York was only 5%. This is going to be, as you said, almost 11%. In New York City, it will be almost 15%. That's stratospheric. We have never been close to that level of effective marginal tax rate in New York. And that's a serious – there's a serious threat of increased migration and other behavioral changes by high earners that will undermine our revenues well into the future from doing this one change.
And finally, in past budgets, the governor has delayed certain payments in order to make the budget numbers work for the current fiscal year, with the caveat that this whole thing is very nebulous and we've only had a couple hours to go through it. Is there any indication that the governor's planning on doing a similar approach to his budget for the fiscal year 2022, putting off certain payments, a week or two so they go into the next fiscal year?
The short answer is I don't know, because as I said, the budget documents were posted only pre-midnight last night, and it's impossible to tell yet without reading them closely. In fact, that's a piece of that that has to do largely with the Medicaid budget. And again, the Medicaid budget, which was already creating sort of an ongoing deficit, because that's the area the governor was delaying spending on. The Medicaid budget has been has been confused because there's been more federal aid temporarily flowing into Medicaid, and so it's hard to tell what they're planning in terms of their timing. So we're still looking at that.
And once you digest all that, we'll love to talk to you a little bit more. We've been speaking with EJ McMahon. He is the founder of the Empire Center for Public Policy. EJ, thank you once again for making the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.